Okay, thank you ever so much. Thanks ever so much for inviting me. I was last here, or I came here, 41 years ago.
So you're 41?
I'm not. Because I came here, I think I was almost seven. So how old am I now?
49.
About 48. So I am very old. I now have children who are your age. And I can remember walking, there was a long path, and we had to walk down the long path to get here. We just moved from Cowley, so it was a new school for me. I spent a year in another school. It was a bit scary. And then the first thing I had to do on my first day was go in an assembly and sit cross-legged on the floor, just like you're doing now. So I'm glad some things haven't changed. And the other thing I can remember is that by this time of year, we got bigger. And so it was harder to fit in. And so all your knees are banging against each other. But when it gets round to September again, you'll find that you all fit in far easier. But then you get bigger, and then the big ones go away. Anyway, I'm going to tell you quite a lot about geography, and then a bit about climate. And I'm going to show you some maps, if this thing works. Because what I do now is geography, and I look at maps and about what's happening in the world. There's a map of the world. It's been drawn so that you can see where the most land is. So Africa's pretty big, and we're pretty small. I just want to do a little test with you. I'm going to colour it in. And then I want to see if you know where some places are. Okay, so we've given it a load of colours. Somebody wants to tell me already, I can tell where place, but I haven't asked any questions yet. Wait. Okay, we've coloured all the countries in the world in. And here are some symbols just to help you. And my first question is going to be, and this is a really hard one, can anybody tell me where Vancouver is? All confidence. I'm going to try. Very good. Let's have a look. Yep. There's Vancouver. Okay, another quite hard one. Haiti. No, it's not light blue. We're going to try another. Back. Hawaii. No, it's not. It's not near Hawaii. Hawaii is over here, but also over here, because it kind of goes round. Let's try one more. Haiti. It is a difficult one.
Isn't it near China?
No, I'm glad you don't know this, otherwise there'd be no point in me doing this.
Is it in South America?
It's near South America. It's not a desert. That's a good one. I'll say it is that one over there that you're pointing at. Yeah, it's just here in the Caribbean. And it's a place that is particularly affected by climate change, because people in Haiti are poorer than average for people in the Caribbean, and if you're poorer, climate change affects you more than if you're well off. Let's try an easy one. Spain. Okay. Go on then. So you can stand up and point.
The boat picture.
Yeah. Go on, have a go. No, it's not there. Nobody ever gets to go there. There's very exciting. It's not where the kangaroo is. Nope. You're going to come up and point to it? Go on. I hope it's not too far up for you. Yes. Well done. Very, very good. Okay, just a couple more of these. Sorry, that's Haiti. I forgot to press. And there's Spain. South Africa. Let's have a go. It's going to be really embarrassing if you get it wrong. Do you want to keep your hand up if you're really, really sure? Okay, go on. Yes, that's the clue's in the name. It's at the bottom of Africa. Right, let's try another relatively easy one. India. Come on, run up and have a point. It doesn't matter if you get it wrong. No, that's Russia. Let's try you. Run up. You want to come? Run up and have a point. It's a bit like pin the tail on a donkey, this is. So India, you're trying to go. No, that's near Egypt. You really want to come up, don't you? Come on. If you stretch your arm really far up. We've got two more. Yes, perfect. Okay. Australia. Whose arm's the highest? Highest. Come on, your arm's the highest, yeah. Yes. And I'm afraid the last one is far too easy, which is, yes, where is the UK? So somebody, now you know where the UK, somebody even guessed what the question is. The UK is here. And it's a very small part of the world. We're in a very, very small part of the world. Now, just a couple more questions and I'll tell you some things. Does anybody know which way is north? Can you point towards north? I don't actually know. I'm going to look in at the teachers because I'm trying to think which way around am I? Where? Okay. We think it's slightly that way. So, if that's north, which way is west? That way. And where do you get to? If you go west from me, if you walk, you go up a hill. Do you know what it's called?
Forest.
Little hill. You might think of it as a big hill. It's had a sandpit on top when I was little, full of sand. And somebody needs to put some sand back in that sandpit. Shotover. If you go west, you go Shotover. So, and this is a really tricky question. It's a trick question. We're in Oxford now, but around Oxford there are different districts. If you go west, do you know what the name of the district is? It's really tricky. No? No, we're not going very far. Sorry, no, if you go east, I got it wrong. If you're right, if you go west, long way, you do get to Wales. If you go a little bit east, which district do we get to? We've already had you. We haven't had you. You do get to London, but before you get to London, you actually get to South Oxfordshire, which is very strange. So, here we are. And this is a bit of a weird map. You may not have seen a map like this before. This is Oxford. About 150,000 people living in Oxford. 150,000. So about a quarter of all the people who live in the county. Shotover, just out in South Oxfordshire. There's a district called the Vale of the White Horse. Has anybody been to the White Horse?
I'm going today.
You're going? The White Horse. Has anybody walked on the White Horse? Yeah, fun to walk on it. This is West Oxfordshire, that's Charwell District. And they're the other four parts of this county. A quarter of the people of the county live in Oxford, but look at the jobs. We've got 35%, that's a third of the jobs of the city are in Oxford. So how can that work? How can Oxford have more jobs than it's got people? Go on. Well, kids don't work, so that would be the other way around. So you're not. I know it is a job being at school, especially if they give you homework. And you should charge them, by the way, but I'll try and be good. Go on.
There's more jobs than people.
There are more jobs than there are people to do them in Oxford. So how does that work? Who does the jobs? If there aren't enough people in Oxford to do the jobs, do you want to have a go? Manager can't. Sometimes managers like to pretend they do two or three jobs, but nobody can really do more than one job. Go on. They do. And how do most of them get here? They drive by car. So we have people, on some days, 40,000 people are driving across Oxfordshire to park in the park and rides and to sneakily park around here, but they put residential parking things on. I think you can park in the Slade still. That's going to go soon. They drive in because the jobs are here. And what's the problem with that? Do you remember what Mr. Llewellyn was saying at the beginning? What's the problem about having 40,000 people driving to the city every day? It's a lot of carbon dioxide, yeah. So, how would you solve it? If you don't want, what could you do? Shout out louder.
Could you go on a bus instead of loads of people going?
You could. You're completely right, you can go in a bus. Most cars only have one person in them. A bus normally has a lot more people in them. So although a bus uses a bit more petrol to get going, for every person it uses less. Go on. You could ride a bike, it's very good to ride a bike. But these 40,000 people who come to Oxford every day to work, most of them couldn't ride a bike. Do you know why? To get to work. It's too far. It's too far for them to come. Any more suggestions about what we could do about this? Yeah. Electric cars. That would help. Electric cars would help. But they'll still fill the roads up with cars. Just going to do a couple more. Let's do you. You in front because you haven't said anything yet. We've already had bus, and Oxford's quite full of buses as well. Have you been in the middle of town? Sometimes we can't get any more buses in. When I was your age, how many of you know where Cornmarket is? Yeah, McDonald's on Cornmarket? Higher, yeah. Okay. When I was your age, that was full of cars. And then they stopped the cars going in there, and it was full of buses. And then it got the bus companies to fight each other. And it got even worse, because the bus drivers were pushing in front of other bus drivers, and it stopped working, it filled up. And it's really nice to come back to Oxford and find they've done the really sensible thing, and they only have people in Cornmarket now. Because even with buses, you run out of time. Let's do you as the last suggestion. Yeah. They could change their job. Yes, some people would like that. So these people here, who are coming into Oxford to work, could just go somewhere else to work. There would be a problem, though, because some of your teachers will be coming in from outside. And what would happen if they changed their job and decided not to come and work here? No one? You wouldn't have such brilliant teachers. No, you'd have quite stressed teachers because there'd be less of them. So I've got one suggestion for you, but this isn't popular amongst many people in Oxford. We could build a few more houses around the edge of Oxford where you could cycle into Oxford, and then you wouldn't have to drive a car all the way across to get here. But there are people who don't like that, so I won't say any more about that. This is a set of maps of what Oxford used to look like. I wasn't alive here. This is a long time ago, 1750. But can you see it was just a few little villages and this old bit in the middle? And then they kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger. What happened in the 1930s? Does any of you know what happened in Oxford in the 1930s? This could be some of your great-grandparents. But you'd be quite special if it was. Shout out? World War came at the end. In fact, the World War started at the end of this period, but before the World War, something happened to Oxford. Look, it's quite small there, and that's very big here. Who haven't we had? Only put your hands up if you haven't already been chosen. John. They did build more houses. But why did they build more houses? The population got bigger, but why did it get bigger?
Because more people were coming from different countries.
They came. They worked. Back in the 30s, they were actually coming. They were. Quite a lot of them came from Wales. But what were they coming for? It was industrial. And in particular, what kind of industry was it? It was jobs, but what were the jobs? What happened here? Some industry was built here. It's a car factory. They built a car factory here. And then you needed lots of people to work in the car factory to make cars. And when I was your age, we moved to Risinghurst. And every day my mum walked us from Risinghurst to here. And every day we had to wait. And we had to wait because all the men who were going to the car factory were cycling. They were all on bikes because they didn't have cars. They were making cars for other people. And Oxford was full of people on bikes to make cars. Now, there's still a car factory, but it doesn't employ that many people. There's a whole set of different people in here. But look, 1970, when I was your age, 2001, 2011, 2021, it's getting a bit bigger, but not much bigger. I must rush forward, because I will...
We're not in 2021.
We are very good. Somebody just pointed out we're not in 2021 yet. Yeah, we have to predict things. One reason we have to predict things, how many years is it to 2021? That's 6 years. Okay, so can we work out how many people are going to be here in 2021? How do we know how many people are going to be sitting here in 2021? There is a way you can sort of tell. Some of you might even know it in your family. You can use the past. It's an even easier way. You could do that. That's getting quite complicated. I'll tell you the answer. How many of you have got little baby brothers or sisters? One. Okay? You go, exactly, yes. Right? And so we know about all the babies, the 0-year-olds, the 1-year-olds, the 2-year-olds. And then we can work out how many of those are going to be here, and so on. But let's talk about how many people there are in general. Now, I did these slides for my children's school, which is in Sheffield, which is a bit bigger than this, where there were 500. I know you've got 330. But this is what 500 children look like. If we take that bit off, that's what you lot look like if we could line the whole school up. And now I'm going to show this for Sheffield. Sheffield's about 500,000 people, so I've been living for most of the last 12 years. Oxfordshire is about 660,000 people, so it's bigger. And if you have all these schools, you get something as big as that kind of a county. You can tell I made these slides a few years ago because we used to have 60 million people. We've now got 63 million people. So just to try to give you an idea about what that's like, each one of these things is a little Sheffield, which is a city just a bit smaller than the population of Oxfordshire. And if you have that many of them, you get a population of the UK. Was 60 million, it's now 63 million. Why is it going up? Why are we getting more people? Go on. That's not the main reason, but it does help. It's a big reason. Yeah. No. Interestingly, our population is going up, but we're not building very many houses. One of you two. Any guesses? Who? Okay, go on. Go on, you'll be.
People from other countries are coming over as well.
Yeah, more people from other countries are coming in at the moment. And so our population is going up. Population of the world. When I made these slides a few years ago, it was 6.8 billion. That number of United Kingdoms. Now it's 7.25 billion. It's going up very, very fast at the moment. But don't worry about it. The main reason it's going up is because people are living longer. People are actually having fewer babies in the whole world. The year in which they had the most babies was 1990. But it takes a long time from when people start having fewer babies for population to slow down. I'm going to change the map now. So that's the map I showed you at the beginning. And we're now going to warp it. You see it changing?
Yeah.
Right. So what's the map showing now? Yeah, China's got massive. Why has China got massive? Why has India got massive? Yeah, this is where the people are. So we've changed the world to make everywhere the same size as the people. About 1 billion people in China. About 1 billion in India. There's fewer in Europe. There's even fewer people in North America. There's some numbers for you. Now this matters because when you have lots of people, if people are polluting, if they're driving cars and creating carbon and flying aeroplanes and so on, the more people you have, the more pollution you'll have. However, most of these people are not driving cars and hardly any of them are actually in aeroplanes. So they're not making that pollution. I'm going to ask you a question right at the very end, don't worry. Okay, just going to show you two more strange maps. That's what the world looks like if you look at people who speak English as their first language. See? It looks very strange. We produced a website called World Mapper, which has thousands of maps like this on it. And that's the Welsh speakers. I'm afraid they're not actually in England, because our maps weren't very good back then. Right? Just showing you what you can do with maps. Now let's go and look at Britain. I'm only going to be 5 more minutes. So if you're finding it difficult to sit on your bum, don't worry. Because I can remember that. And it begins to hurt, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. That's Sheffield. There. We're down here. Oxford is this little bubble here. We're squeezed between London and Birmingham. Let's just show you 3 more maps and 1 photograph and then we'll end. Okay. What we've done now... Do you want to tell me what you've done? Go on. No. Oh. We do now have an aeroplane that flies by solar panels. Yeah, it's not done very well. It has to land in an emergency about a week ago. But people are trying to get aeroplanes that can fly by solar panels. All by chip fat oil. But in general, it's quite hard to fly an airplane without polluting very much. But the way we produce carbon and the way we pollute isn't just by driving cars or flying airplanes. It's also by making things. If we make lots of things that we don't actually need, in making those things, we're going to create pollution. So this map is showing you where all the toys in the world go to. By money. So what's this country where they get the most toys? It's America. It's America. We get quite a lot of toys. This was a few years ago before the recession and the crash. We now get a few less toys than we used to. And where's here? Australia, quite a few toys. But what's happening here?
None.
None. But this is toys that cost a lot of money, often plastic toys made out of oil. Where is this part of the world? Africa. Do children in Africa have no toys?
They do have toys.
But often their toys are made locally and they're not made out of plastic and they're not shipped around the planet to get them to other people. Now, can you guess where most of the toys in the world are made? China. You knew that already because it's written on them, isn't it? You turn them upside down and have a look and it tells you. That's the amount of money that was spent per child a few years ago on toys in those countries of the world. And that's the map of where the toys are made in the world. This is Hong Kong. They're not actually made in Hong Kong, they're made near Hong Kong and they kind of go through Hong Kong. Italy's quite good at making toys, so is Mexico. But if you want to have a little bit less pollution, then if not quite as many toys are made, and as many toys are shipped, and as many toys are played with, then you'll have less pollution. But think about Christmas Day. How many toys do you want to get on Christmas Day?
100.
100, yes. 100. And part of our problem at the moment with climate is that people in countries like Britain and much of the rest of Europe and America like to have lots and lots of things. And if we could have slightly fewer things and still be happy, then not quite as many things would have to be made and not as much pollution would be caused in making them. Similarly, if you'd be happy having a holiday where you don't get on an aeroplane but go somewhere locally, you'll pollute less. But if everybody else is getting on an aeroplane, you might want to get on an aeroplane. This is my last map. And this map is showing you how much carbon dioxide is released in every country in the world. In Europe, we're large. And we're large because we're relatively rich. So we can afford cars and we can drive cars. China is large. It's medium well off. It's not poor, it's not rich, it's in the middle. But it's large because it produces as much pollution, actually slightly more now, than the United States or Europe. But China's producing the pollution, making things that we want to buy from China. And per person in China, the amount of pollution is much less. But there are big arguments between this part of the world, this part of the world, and this part of the world about how to reduce the pollution. There's going to be a big conference in a few months' time. Have any of you heard of this, where it's going to be? Yes. It's going to be in Paris. And it's going to be about trying to come to an agreement about how these parts of the world that produce the most pollution could produce a little less pollution. I'll show you a picture about why it matters. These are some children about your age. And they're in Niger, which is a country, landlocked country in the middle of Africa. And they're fairly happy because my student has taken a photograph of them. And I think she was running, and they were running after her. But the children have one problem. If you have a look at the land, you'll see the land is now very dry. And one problem for the children is that their dads, most of their mums are there, but their dads aren't there, because their dads have had to go away to find work in another country, because they can no longer grow the food they need there, because it's become too dry, and it's probably become too dry because of the way the climate's being changed, because of how we're heating up the atmosphere. So we do things in one part of the world, and it has effects on people in another part of the world. And this is a really big global debate about what we're going to do about it and what's going to happen. It's really recent, because when I was your age, most people were cycling or walking. Most people in Oxford did not have a car, and that's only the 1970s. So they weren't polluting as much as they're polluting now. When I was your age at Christmas, you got about 10 presents. And they weren't very expensive. And there were no computers. There were no electronic games to play on. There was no PlayStation. There was no Nintendo. So there weren't as many things to get or to have. It's all changed, and it's changed dramatically in just 40 years. We've only learnt about this in the last 40 years. I went to school here, and then when I got to the age of 9, I think it was, I went to a middle school, which is where Windmill now is. It was called Headington Middle. It was very nice, it didn't make us do very much. I then went to Cheyne, where they made us do a little bit more. And at Cheyne, they taught us that there would soon be an ice age and it would get very cold. They were wrong, but that's what teachers across Britain were teaching children at that time. It's only within the last 40 years that we've learned that instead of getting very cold, the planet is getting warmer and warmer. And the reason it's getting warmer is because of the pollution we're causing. And what the pollution does in the atmosphere is change the amount of sunlight that used to bounce back and out, traps it inside, and warms us up. It's warming us up quite slowly, but in a way that's very worrying. You've been really good. These are the people who help me make those slides. Nobody ever does very much on their own. They always get a lot of help. So thank you very much for listening, and I'm going to be around a bit later if you want to ask any questions. Thank you.